Welcome to another episode of Time Out with AMPS. My name is Eugene Berger, and today we're going to be talking about business continuity and remote operations. I'm joined by three very intelligent guests today. The first of which is Paul Nelson. Hi, Paul. How are you doing?
Hi. Yeah, I'm great. Thanks, Eugene. How are you?
Yeah, very well. Thank you. My second is David Roden. How are you doing?
Hi, very well. Thanks, Eugene.
And last but not least is John Hanley. How are you doing?
Yeah, hi there, Eugene. Good, thanks.
If we could maybe do some intros. And again, we'll probably go in the same order. So Paul, could you give us an intro into what you do and who you are?
Sure. Thank you, Eugene. I'm Paul Nelson, and I'm a strategist and director at HP PointNext Worldwide Hybrid IT Data Center Technology Services Practice. But we focus on delivering a consulting portfolio that includes data center strategy, design, assurance, implementation operations. So effectively, our services bridge the gap between IT and the data center facility. This enables HP to deliver chip-to-chiller services. I've been in HP for 10 years now, and I've been in the mission-critical industry for over 25 years.
Great. Thanks, Paul. David, how about yourself?
Hi, I'm David Roden. I'm a lead solution consultant in the data center transformation practice in HPE's PointNext organization, which is a services organization. As you know, in the UK, we work with customers to help them to transform, migrate, modernize their data centers and the infrastructure within them. And I've been working in IT for most of my working life and spent the last 20 years with HPE.
Great. And last but not least, John.
Yeah, hi, folks. John Hanley here. I'm part of the worldwide management services practice in HPE. I've been in the IT industry in HP for quite some time, 37 years, so done a lot of jobs across that time. But over the last 10 years, I've been specifically working as part of our remote solution centers, and specifically the last 5 years as part of our remote management services capability. And you may ask, what is that? Well, basically, our remote management services, GreenLake Management Service, is a suite of services that helps our customers manage, operate, and optimize their IT environments. And, you know, sometimes we're asked to manage their end-to-end, the whole data center, but other times we're asked just to focus on specific environments like storage or compute or networking, or maybe they want us to support on specific workloads like SAP HANA and, Hadoop and things like that. So that's the organization that I'm part of.
So we have three very experienced panelists to provide us some content during this conversation. So before we move on to some of the content, guys, I just wanted to make sure and get a view as to how things are going within the current pandemic we're in. Anybody got any opinions on how things are going, both from a personal and from a corporate and a working environment point of view?
Yes, John here. I'm okay to start on that. So I'm in the I part of the UK and I in a place called Galway on the west coast of Ireland. So it's a relatively small place. So as a result, I used to go to the office every single day. So I was an office person. So this is fairly new to me. Luckily, we do have all the equipment and the connectivity that allows us to do that. So that's quite good.
Yeah.
But certainly it took a bit of settling down, and one of the key things was I wasn't on my own, because all my sons had to do the same thing, whether they were in college or working remote from home. So, you know, dividing up the house and trying to fight for the best room with the best connectivity was the best thing. But I think you learn. We've been doing it now for 4 or 5 weeks, and it's going to continue for several weeks. So trying to get into a routine, I think, is the best thing. Get up as if you are going to work into the office, and at the same time, try and take some breaks as you go through the day, if it's only to get out to the garden for a while. So, but overall, you know, better than I expected, and certainly very efficient and productive, and largely able to do the work, even though I travel a lot, and obviously that's part of the missing. You miss some of that. From a work perspective, fairly good. As I said, I'm part of kind of our remote organization. So so we support our customers remotely, but we do it from the office. We've built these IT operation centers, 8 of them, across the globe to support the UK and all the countries that we support globally. But largely, all our people have been working remotely. So we have the technology around how we remotely connect through HP into our customers or separate connectivity through VPN. And really, we haven't had any major escalation or major outage, you know, through that time. So we've been able to work very effectively as we would have had anyway, a BCP, a business continuity plan, in place for all our operations. So that's been going very well. And in fact, you know, so we have this service that we've been offering over the last 5 years, and kind of in response to what we see in the COVID-19 crisis, we've tried to tailor our current capability, you know, to ways that we could short-term basis, you know, support our customers very difficult as they try to put their attention, you know, on some of the very critical issues that they're facing. So, we've kind of tailored what we do short term to meet the current requirements. So overall, I'd say it's different, that's for sure. And we understand some of the difficulties that our customers are in, particularly in some of the more hit industries, but surprisingly working fairly well on a day-to-day basis.
That's great to hear, John. I suppose, you know, it'd be good to bring maybe Paul or David into this. Is how are you guys, you know, how have you guys supported this continuous plan of remote working and making sure that everything continues? You know, do you guys have an opinion on things that are going well?
Well, I think we're generally set up for working from wherever. So actually, to a certain extent, it is business as usual, but it's always nice to be in front of customers and talking to them and engaging, you know, more fully with them, and you can't quite replace that using the remote tools, but it's you know, by and large it's going well. We're all cooped up in our houses, unfortunately, so and you know, we've got more people at home than we would normally have, but so you know, we've got school kids and spouses at home, but other than that, I think it's going pretty well, really. And as I said, the tools that we have at our disposal work very, very well.
Yeah. And I suppose, Paul, from your side, obviously you look after a lot of the facility stuff and in actual fact a lot more than that. You know, how critical has your business been in making sure that people have been able to continue working as per normal?
Well, I think, you know, this current situation, it's kind of, you know, as businesses go virtual and sort of transform to digital, it's kind of sped up that process and kind of forced businesses to realize that, you know, for example, remote working, people working from home, maybe flexible working hours. In some situations, there's been positions where that's been considered not able to happen. And I think this is given it a good chance to show that it can. So, you know, of course, as businesses go virtual and a lot of, you know, most people are working remotely, of course, at the end of the day, you need infrastructure and, you know, communications to do that. And at the back end of that is effectively the data center, right? So they've become more critical than ever, of course, whichever way the organization handles their infrastructure, whether that be an on-prem data center, on the cloud, or a colo, it's still in a data center, right? And you know, many operations and enterprises can operate remotely, whereas when it comes to an actual facility, you can't just turn the lights out and go home. You need an on-site presence. So I think we spent a lot of time recently going through with clients how they can better manage safely an on-premise presence for their data centers.
Yeah, and I've got a lot of questions around that, which we'll get to towards the end of this audio cast. But I think that's really pertinent. I suppose, you know, I'm really interested in some of the BCP stuff or the business continuity that we've been putting in place. And you know, I suppose if we come to you for this portion, John, is what are we actually doing to make sure that we can maintain not only small businesses, but also large corporates like ourselves. And, you know, maybe we are a good use case of that.
Yeah, so as I say, our kind of management service is kind of born in remote. We're co-located with our remote solution centers. There's about 5,000 people in that organization. We've about 600 people supporting the management services businesses. And typically, when we're positioning management services with our customers, you know, this takes a bit of time in terms of the customer, you know, going through what he wants to achieve and you know, essentially allowing us to manage his operations on his behalf. The thing I'd want to say, it's not pure outsourcing as we know in the industry. The customer maintains control of this strategy, but okay. Essentially we run the operations for him. So as I said, it's been in working quite effectively. What we've done specifically, as I said, for in response to COVID-19 is we have made available kind of three limited time offerings that allows us to support the customers on a short term basis and allows us to deploy a lot quicker. And we've kind of put that into three levels. The first is kind of what we'd call staff augmentation. So here, basically, we're giving our customers access to immediate help to run their IT infrastructure, but it's very fast order to operations, very short, 3-month contract, you know, and done on a non-profit basis. The second is that we can provide kind of a monitoring only capability.
Okay.
So this is really designed where customers have some level of existing monitoring capabilities, but they need someone to keep an eye on the critical areas of their business, you know, while they, you know, again, maybe reprioritize their views into other areas. And the third is really kind of our full management services capability, but, you know, again, offered in a very more modular view so it can be deployed quickly. So, you know, we have the flexibility in terms of responding to specific customer requirements, but all based on, you know, the knowledge and the experience that we have in running IT remotely, efficiently, and securely.
Great. You know, have we got anything else to add there, Paul or David? I mean, you guys got any thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, one of the areas that senior IT professionals often cite is availability of skills in the marketplace for, you know, and particularly for some of the aging technology. So our area we look at, one of the areas we look at is transforming legacy IT, and you know, so helping customers to migrate off, you know, traditional proprietary systems onto more open systems and more modern infrastructure and architectures, and you know, but you know, those resources supporting those legacy systems may be in tight demand, and so mm-hmm. you know, having you know, support services like John has mentioned is probably actually a very good thing for customers to be able to draw upon, because they could well find themselves during these times being a little bit stretched or maybe having some single points of failure in their organizational aspects of their IT organization.
Yeah, I totally agree, David. Yeah, that's what we see. And it's actually both spectrums. It's the old legacy stuff, because those skills are, you know, very hard available on the market. A lot of those people are retiring, you know, things like Nonstop, which, you know, are really critical still in organization. And then if you're the other end in terms of new technology and, you know, emerging things like the cloud, etc. In fact, typically our customers come to us for one of three reasons. One, as you said, the skills. They don't have the skills in this particular. Secondly, maybe they have capacity issues. It could be short term or long term, where they want, you know, to refocus their resources into different areas, maybe what they would regard more value add areas, and ask someone else to do the operations. And the third area is, you know, just if you look what's happening in the IT industry, the whole landscape is getting very diverse, and, you know, workloads and works is being spread between, you know, your core data center to cloud to edge, and just trying to get a handle on such a diverse landscape, you know, is proving very difficult for many organizations.
Indeed, and when we're transforming, we often, you know, we're usually addressing, you know, one of three issues or maybe all three. And those are around agility, and obviously those legacy infrastructures, reduce the amount, how agile companies can be. We try to reduce cost, but we also, critically, try to reduce risk. And that's probably an area that a lot of customers are focusing on at the moment in the current climate.
It does look that way. I suppose, Paul, just coming to you, are we seeing any change in your area around the facilities and what we're building, where we're going, the direction? Are we having to change anything drastically, or what are we actually doing during this little bit of a crazy phase that we're going through at the moment?
Well, I think so one thing that has become apparent during this COVID-19 pandemic is the data center facility, as we would call it, is pretty much, if you look at the demographics of the people that are qualified and experienced in sort of managing, operating on the facilities side, it seems to be a higher proportion of older, should we say, more experienced people. Now, of course, one of the things we've realized with COVID-19 is it tends to be more risky towards the sort of older generations. So that has highlighted a gap. We knew the gap was there anyway, and I think this has certainly put a big risk factor in of what we need to do next, and really, really brought together, because it's a people first strategy with COVID-19. We need to make sure at the basis of everything is people. So we need to make sure everyone's safe.
Yeah.
So we have found that the majority of people are older, and we don't want to risk them. So, when you look at a facility itself, around a data center, most of the infrastructure and hardware can be managed from an IT perspective remotely. Okay, but when you look at the actual fabric itself of a building, you can, if you have the infrastructure in place and have invested, and it's a slightly newer facility, then you can automate and remotely monitor and manage through a BMS system or a DCIM.
Okay.
But one thing you can't do is carry out maintenance remotely. You do need people on site to do that. So one thing's, some things we're looking at are, operating procedures. And of course, maybe we should perhaps consider introducing a pandemic response plan into them operating procedures. So looking at procedures to stop people coming in and perhaps even leaving a facility if it is critical.
Yeah.
Looking at the maintenance plans, look at what maintenance can be deferred to when it's more safe to carry them out. A lot of maintenance is carried out by external vendors for them, particular equipment manufacturers, they come in. So, one of the things we need to look at is, can we actually allow them to come in? Is it safe? So we should perhaps look at deferring that.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I suppose one of the things that we've seen a lot of people go down the route of, and this is going across pretty much every, industry that we're looking at, is how we're doing and dealing with PPE. And to your point, the more experienced people are unfortunately at a higher risk. So we are going down the route of that. But are we actually seeing that within some of our customers, or are there specific verticals that this is really pertinent to? Has anyone been affected more or less than each other?
Yes, John here, and maybe start on that. I think there has, and definitely we can see that in our customers. Now, our GreenLake Management Services that I'm involved in is actually agnostic. So we're supporting customers right across the industries, whether it's retail or manufacturing or financial services, telecoms. But I think there are particular industries that we see, not just from a business perspective, but it's clear from a personal perspective as well. So anyone involved, in the airline business, the retail business is particularly hit, and from in terms of the business, the impact on their business. And I guess there's other industries that have increased strain because of activity, things like healthcare and logistics, to try and keep the supply chain open. So I think definitely we're seeing specific industries with some specific requirements. I mean, our approach is fairly generic, because how we deliver our services is a bit of a cliche, but it's based on kind of the three P's, platform, people, and process. And
yeah.
I guess originally the drive and, the backbone of our capability in remote was people, but that has been shifting over the last few years. And in fact, it's the platform now is the core component of our delivery. When I talk about platform, it's really, you know, a suite of integrated management tools that allows us to manage and optimize the environment remotely. So, you know, this is doing things like IT service management, IT operation management, and, you know, the capability that we've developed to allow us to do orchestration and automation across our processes. So, you know, as I said, obviously some industries more affected than others, and they're the ones we're seeing who are asking maybe for the immediate help. That's what I'm seeing from a management service perspective.
Okay. David, Paul, any thoughts on that?
Well, certainly, within you know, the organisations I deal with, there are certainly some that are, you know, being stood down. Others that really don't seem to have been much affected, and others that are, you know, are very busy and are, you know, requesting certain, you know, things from us. You know, things like health checks of infrastructure. So yes, it depends very much on the industries and also, you know, to what extent they have embraced some of the more contemporary technologies around, you know, and they, you know, they're kind of born in the cloud or cloud native type approaches. So yeah, it varies quite a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. So I suppose once we start looking at what the future looks like, what is life as it's going to be in the future going to look like post-pandemic? And again, maybe Paul, we can start with you on that.
Yeah, so from a data center perspective, I mean, there's been a few instances where clients have been caught short. And certainly one of the things about data center we look at is the uptime. We need to, you know, they're there to provide continuous operations. And of course, as we all know, with the personal side, there's a lot of streaming, a lot of internet usage. Yeah. And of course, for the business side, there's a lot of need for, you know, remote connectivity. All of that is driven basically from the data center. So we don't really want to have downtime. So, it's a fact of we now need to think, were our procedures in place? Were we set up for this kind of thing? So, you know, moving forward, maybe it's a case, you know, we're developing and sort of rehashing services to address these gaps, you know, things like assessments, health checks. Rewriting or completely renewing operating emergency operating procedures, for example, in certain pandemic response plans. For sure, something, you know, with regards to operating a data center, I think one thing we never really considered before was making sure that the staff were up to date with vaccinations. That's one thing we're considering.
I suppose one of the questions I have around that, Paul, is, you know, when we look at a data center today, we imagine a big building that's based somewhere that's secure and looked after. Do you think post-pandemic we might actually look at, you know, separating this large form of a data center and actually dispersing it across, you know, maybe a country or possibly even the globe? Is that something that is a possibility or a reality in the future?
So within HPE, we sort of have the strategy. We're looking forward to sort of everything as a service and hybrid IT, the right mix advisory. So, you know, when we look at the data center spread, you know, that can be, it doesn't just all have to be in one on-prem data center or on the cloud. Usually it's a geographical or regional mix of on-premise in a co-location, on the cloud, or even on the edge. So what we've found is that rarely do we have everything in one location. Okay, there's a good mix. And even, you know, one thing to mention is, what we found when we do these assessments, we find a lot of shadow IT, which are these remote sort of one rack, one server things, which we find are running sort of semi-critical applications, not being managed, not on the asset list. So, you know, one place we can start is probably rationalizing where we are, how we're operating, what we have, and how we can manage that. Right. Not only looking at how we can more manage it remotely to keep people safe, but also, you know, it gives a good fresh perspective on how to move forward.
Yep. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So that can even address sort of gaps where we'd look at where we need to constrict or expand needs for data center provision.
Yeah. How about yourself, David? Anything that you think is going to be changed or is going to change massively once we post pandemic?
The way that the born in the cloud organizations have been able to scale to support demand, you know, and pivot very, very quickly, I think is a real eye-opener for many customers. And they'll be looking at, you know, what is you know, the best approach for them, you know, what is their right mix. And so, you know, an assessment of the way they do things, their applications, their services, and how they provide those to the business, I think is probably going to be something they'll want to do. And you know, we help customers do that with our Right Mix Advisor services all the time. They'll be looking at, you know, modernizing, ensuring that they've standardized systems to make, you know, operating remotely much more easy.
Does that include legacy systems and how those will work? I mean, what's your thoughts around that?
Yes. Yeah, so I think, you know, organizations will be wanting to, you know, retire as much technical debt as possible, I think, you know, following on from this. You know, so either transforming those legacy systems or replacing them with other systems that will, you know, that can take up that particular business process. So I think there's going to be, you know, a lot of change as a result of this, because customers are going to realize that actually the way they thought they would be able to do business in the past isn't going to necessarily you know, be able to do it, you know, in the future. And one of the interesting things about all of this is that there are a lot of industries that have, you know, unfortunately had to close down temporarily. Right at the moment would be a fantastic time to do the necessary upgrades and migrations, because in our business, sometimes those windows are very, very tight. And in order to be able to do those kinds of activities, having something planned and in your back pocket, perhaps for those kind of periods, if they're going to be a feature of the future, might be something organizations will want to look at.
We've definitely seen a lot of that, I have to say. There's a lot of people that are taking this this time when people aren't located in offices or data centers for that matter. You know, they're definitely taking that time to do a fair amount of upgrading on facilities and systems that they can. John, thought I'd come to you and see if there's anything that you wanted to add in.
Yeah, I think, you know, this is really a very significant event, you know, and it has a bit to run yet, and in some areas of the world more than others. I actually believe that we'll probably never be the same again. We won't go back exactly where we were to last year. Some things will be indelibly changed, both in our personal lives, in our work lives, the way we work. And I think organization will be looking back and say, you know, how did this affect it? How did we work in this environment? And some organizations will say, yes, we actually managed quite well. We had the setup. People could work remotely. And this will have implications, I think, in terms of how they operate going forward, how much real estate they need, and all those type of things, which have a long-term effect. Other organizations will say, well, actually, this didn't work for us that well. Some of those things might be completely out of their control, like in the airline industry and things like that, where, you know, with government restrictions, it's very difficult. But others will be saying, well, how do we protect ourselves in the future? Are our people equipped, you know, with laptops rather than desktops? Do we have the right level of connectivity in place? Should we be using partners, either as part of our BCP plan or, you know, to minimize the risk in the organization? Should we be moving to more hosting than on-site? So I think you know, depending on how the organization will affect it, it'll certainly ask a lot of questions. I think from the positives, we have found that, you know, as I said, a lot of our particular industry is based on remote working, and we've found that we can continue to support our customers. There are some challenges, obviously, in things like the supply chain to get through that. But overall, you know, I think considering the circumstances, we've seen that we're quite resilient, and people, you know, on the most parts have been trying to get on and doing their day-to-day business.
Yep, absolutely. Guys, we're nearing the end, and this is the sort of time where I like to try and reflect and just get some, you know, any last thoughts from you guys on what we're going through, and also some views on anything that we possibly missed. So, you know, David, can we start with you? Is there anything that you want to add or anything that you want to mention?
No, I think we've covered quite a lot. I do agree with John's point that I don't think we'll ever be the same again. And I think this is possibly going to be, you know, something that will will happen more often in the future. But let's hope, yes, as we also, I think, said, that we're able to learn from it.
Yep. Paul, anything from yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with John and David on this. One thing I would add is I think that this has shown us a new way of working and the new way forward. And some things have proven to work, and I think some things just can't change.
Yep, I totally agree with that, and I'm sure everyone does too. John, any last thoughts from yourself?
Yeah, I think I've covered most points. I think, I mean, the bottom message is absolutely these are strange and difficult times. There are worse issues out there in the world if we look at some of the really concerning areas in some countries. But we will get through it and we are getting through it, both from a personal and a business perspective. And I think as we speak to our customers, we need to listen to what their current difficulties. And, you know, I think the simple message is we are here to help HP Pointnex, and HP are here to help. You know, how can we help you in any way, and to ensure that we get through it together? And, you know, there is another part of our involvement when we get through this.
Yeah. Guys, thank you very much for your time. I just wanted to tee up the next episode that we're going to be recording. It's Education Services and Management of Change. And we've got Bjorn Weber and Ben Hartley that are going to be joining us. Before we do finish off, guys, I just wanted to say a massive thank you to David, Paul, and John for your input today. And really appreciate your time. Stay safe, guys. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.